Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Family reunions can be wonderful things, can't they? I left you yesterday watching one of the most joyful family reunions recorded in the Bible, the reunion of Jacob and Esau after 20 years estranged from each other. Following their celebration, Esau returned home and Jacob continued his southern journey toward his boyhood home from which he had fled. Along the way, God once again gave Jacob clear guidance, saying, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to the Lord who appeared to you when you were fleeing from Esau." Genesis 35, verse 1. God's instructions could not have been clearer. It had been more than 20 years since Jacob's dream at that place he named Bethel, and oh, so much had transpired in those two decades. But now, with reconciliation accomplished with his brother Esau, Jacob could return to Bethel with his soul content, perhaps anticipating a fresh encounter for his family with God in that special place. But Jacob knew some spiritual house cleaning was needed first, and so he gathered his large family and challenged them with these words: "Get rid of your foreign gods which you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." Genesis 35, verse 2 and 3. For the first time, Jacob stepped up to spiritual leadership of his family and challenged them to give up their worship of any god other than the God of Abraham and Isaac, who had met with Jacob at this special place 20 years before. It was time for them to prepare to meet with God. Let's just pause a moment and imagine yourself standing there watching the personal house cleaning going on here. Whatever they knew about the God of Jacob's family was about to change as they approached Bethel, the place Jacob's life had changed. Is there such a place in your life journey, my friends? Some place where you've had such a powerful encounter with God that your life changed and you've never been the same? Have you ever taken your family there and told them your God story? Amazingly, Jacob's family brought to him quite a pile of what I'll call fetishes, probably little wooden carved idols, some amulets and other paraphernalia, which they had used in their religious practices which did not involve the God of Abraham. Likely, they had purchased or been gifted these things by people they met along the journey of life who saw them as good luck charms or mystical things that might protect or be helpful in life. May I ask us all to think about this a moment? Are there things in your possession that have nothing to do with Holy God, but you hang on to them just in case they might bring you some advantage in certain situations? That's dangerous, my friends, and I'd urge you to dispose of them and keep your spiritual focus on Almighty Holy God, untainted by anything. Jacob took this collection of stuff and dug a hole in the ground and buried it, not for safekeeping, but as a final separation from them. Then Jacob led his family procession to a field that he remembered had been his place of encounter with God 2 decades before. He built an altar there and led his family in worship of the one true Almighty God. God appeared to Jacob and repeated the message Jacob had received from the wrestling angel a few days before. "Your name is Jacob, but your name will now be Israel. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you and to your descendants after you." Then God went up from Jacob at the place where he had spoken with him. Genesis 35, verse 10 to 13. Jacob set up a stone pillar there, poured oil on it, and once again declared that place to be Bethel, the house of God. The covenant promise from God first to Abraham more than 100 years before, and then to Isaac, was now being given to Jacob. God's plan was clear. Jacob would carry God's covenant to the next generation. Now God had told Jacob to settle here in this place, Bethel, but the next verse tells us, "Then they moved on from Bethel," Genesis 35, 16. That disappoints me, but I presume Jacob's motivation was to arrive home to see his father Isaac before he died and seek to restore their relationship if possible, especially now that Jacob and Esau had been reconciled. Genesis 35:16 tells us Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, was pregnant with her second child, and as they traveled, she went into premature labor and actually died, giving birth to a 12th son for Jacob. As she breathed her last, Rachel named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin, Genesis 35:18. Ben-Oni meant son of my sorrow. Benjamin meant son of my right hand. Certainly Rachel had lived a life full of sorrow, but Jacob, perhaps knowing this would be his last son, and certainly the last of his beloved Rachel, chose a name that proclaimed promise and privilege, for the most honored son always sat at the right hand of his father. The record says, "So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb." Genesis 35, verse 19 and 20. This is the first mention of Bethlehem in the Bible, and it is true that location had been a hallowed, revered place for centuries, until fairly recently when ISIS demolished and desecrated this place, honoring Rachel, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. After grieving a while, Jacob moved on, leading his family south to Hebron. While he had been raised in Beersheba, word must have come to Jacob that his father had moved to Hebron, where he hoped his father would still be living. The record says, Jacob came home to his father Isaac, near Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died, old and full of years. His sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Genesis 35, verse 27 to 29. While the record does not tell us, we presume God was gracious and enabled Jacob and Isaac to reconcile before his death. Thus, when Esau came for the funeral, the family had been restored to relationship, and Isaac's sons, who had been enemies, were united as brothers, laying their father's body to rest beside that of his father Abraham and his mother Sarah in the cave Abraham had purchased for a family final resting place, according to Genesis chapter 23. We can presume Jacob and Esau, and whatever family Esau had brought with him, spent several days together in traditional mourning for their father Isaac. There is no mention of their mother Rebekah there. Because both Esau and Jacob had such large families and great numbers of animals, there was insufficient grazing land for them to remain near one another, so Esau moved his family and possessions permanently to the region south and east of the Dead Sea called Seir, Genesis 36:1-9. While Jacob made his family homestead his homeland with all his large family, Genesis 37:1. In God's sovereignty, the mantle of family heritage in God's covenant had once again been formally passed, first from Abraham to Isaac, not his brother Ishmael, and now to Jacob, and not his brother Esau. Jacob, his three wives and 12 sons and one daughter settled down, claiming the land which had been deeded by God to Abraham and his descendants. As God had promised, the descendants from Abraham were now a great many, with both Ishmael and Esau bountifully blessed and leaders of what would become great nations of Arab peoples. This is history in the making, my friends, so let's pause and ponder what we've witnessed as God's sovereign plan has developed in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tomorrow, we'll find the story of Joseph takes center stage in God's unfolding grand narrative. As Jacob and his family settled after Isaac's funeral,